although I did title this message 2020 Reflections. And I know that we should be looking forward, but there are a few things that have happened just in this first week that I had to reflect upon in my own life. And as it is with the new year, Rick mentioned that it's a new decade. It's a chance to examine ourselves a little bit and look forward. When Jesus began his ministry, we read in Mark 1. Dave, could you hit the slides, please? All right. This is one of those classic verses that you hear about where you see the Godhead all presented in all three persons. When Jesus went and was being baptized by John the Baptist, I mean, Jesus was right there, and the dove, the Holy Spirit, descends upon him, and you hear the Father saying, "Hey, this is my Son. You're the one with whom I am well pleased." And that was the start of Jesus' ministry, and right there he went out and into the desert. Well, when you read the book of Romans, Romans 6, you know, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. Or don't you know that all of us were baptized in Christ, baptized into Christ Jesus? We're baptized into his death. We're therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised to the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And that's the way it is. It's a new year. It's a new life. We've all heard your windshield is so much bigger than the rearview mirror, and that's where your focus should be. But we have a responsibility. And I think the problem with this is that everyone here is a fairly mature Christian. So we don't need a new year to start us off saying, hey, if there's something God's doing in our life, we need to change. We make that change no matter when it is. You don't wait until February, you know, February comes around and say, oh, I'll kick it off till next year to either whatever it is God wants to change in your life. And the problem I've had with this is when I start looking at New Year's resolutions, I don't make them because I make those resolutions any time of year. Did I screw up, Dave?
No, you're fine.
Oh, okay. I have a tendency to say, what does God want to purge from my life? You know, we hear about people who quit smoking, who quit drinking, who do I sit on the couch and watch TV too much? You know, what are the things that I really need to get rid of in my life? And I don't always look at it and say, what does God want to do with me this year? And that's sometimes a problem. We don't always say, you know, the change is something, asking those questions, where are we going? What is God's plan for me? And what does he really want to do? So I called my brother and I told him I was going to do a message. And I said, you know, I want to just do the, you know, maybe the new year thing. And he said, no, not the thing. I know what your message should be about. And I said, well, before you do that, my other thing I was toying with is maybe closing out Christmas. Because we've heard in the last few weeks, nice consistency about how the shepherds were there. You know, you had Mary, Joseph, baby Jesus, and the shepherds. But if you hit the next slide, please, we find out that the Magi actually weren't there when Jesus was born. And in Matthew 2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, I'm reading in the back, you guys can read in the front. During the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born of the King of the Jews? We saw a star when it rose and have come to worship him. So I was listening to a couple different messages on during the month of December about what happens with the birth of Christ and the trials and the tribulations that they went through. You know, Nazareth is probably 60 miles north of Bethlehem. And so Joseph and Mary, for those of you who have had children or have had to deal with a pregnant spouse, you can understand that's not necessarily the easiest time and what they went through. And from that, there are a lot of misconceptions that come. We sing this song sometimes, We Three Kings of Orion Are. Well, the three there were the three gifts. It may have been a multitude of people. It wasn't necessarily three. There was the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but it wasn't one for each necessarily. It could have been their whole entourage. It wasn't necessarily kings. They say it could be sages, magicians, astrologers, astronomers. It could have just been wise people that were sent, a delegation, and a set of ambassadors to go and greet the king. We three kings of Orient. They probably weren't from the Far East, I heard. A lot of people are saying, the scholars say that they were from Iran. Seeking the star. Well, it says star, but it could have been a bright light. Kepler did planetary laws of motion and things, and every 805 years, Jupiter and Saturn are in conjunction. That is, if line of sight, they're about the same. So it's a real bright thing. It could have been a comet. We don't know. But either way, we do know that the wise men were seeking him. There was a reason for it. My brother gives me a hard time about things. Dave, next slide, please. At home, we have a nativity scene. And I don't know if you can see this, but on the left-hand side, we have the kings on the camels and things like that. So I did something silly. I moved them over to the fireplace on the mantle there, because in our house, that's directly east of where we have the nativity scene. Anybody here have a good southern accent? Used to have this one lady who had a heavy southern accent, and she used to say, why were the wise men or the magi all dressed in red and sooty? They came from afar. So that's why putting them on the mantelpiece just seemed appropriate. All right, let's move it on. Next slide. I just had to throw that out there. And then one of the things that I often wondered about was why Bethlehem? Okay, it's one of the real minor clans of the tribe of Judah. And we sang the song, Lion of Judah, and things. But as I was listening to this, one of the messages that I heard talked about how the place where they actually raise the sheep and the lamb that are used in the Passover feast up in Jerusalem are born just outside of Bethlehem. So it's really appropriate that Jesus is the Lamb of God, came from Bethlehem. And we know that during the Passover, when Jesus was then crucified, he went in through the sheep gate and all that. It's more than just coincidence. The Lamb of God, but yet the Lion of Judah. And then the thing that my reflection for the last year, we read in, I think it's Matthew 6. I'm going to put my glasses on for this. Matthew 2, I'm sorry, 2:6. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler, a people, who will shepherd my people. It's interesting. My brother, when I talked to him about, well, maybe I should do the Christmas follow-up, and he said, no, I know what your message should be about. And I said, all right, I'll bite. What should my message be about? And he said, 10 minutes and then shut up. But I'm going to keep going, folks. We're going to have to live with it today. Jeff, you don't poke the bear. Because then my brother said to me, well, wait a minute, you don't have to. People don't have to be home for a 1 o'clock game. Your team isn't in the playoffs. My brother lives in Wisconsin, and I guess evidently they've got a team that is. But one of the scriptures that's been used by the last couple people, it says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Now, the thing that struck me was this was one person, Caesar Augustus. Caesar was the king of the Kaiser equivalent for Rome. We, you know, August, the month August comes from Caesar Augustus. The month July from Julius Caesar, the king or the ruler of Rome at the time. But he issued a decree. Now, the censuses were done about every 14 years. And it isn't like the one that we're going to have where you could probably either do it electronically or fill in a form and just send it out. I mean, Joseph and Mary had to go to Bethlehem. They had to go about 60 miles to be counted. And the Roman Jews used to figure out how much taxes every little province and things had to supply and how many men would be used for the armies and things like that. So it was important that they had the count. But it was just one person making that decision. And even with the Magi going to Herod, right after that, he issued a decree that all the males 2 years and younger be killed. There's a lot of power in that. So the one reflection that I had is a deficiency in my life is not necessarily praying the way that I should for those in authority. I know sometimes the verses are taken out of context. You know, today's main major thrust is Romans 13. Everyone must submit to the governing authorities, for there are no authorities except those that God has instituted. And those who do so... Oh, boy, we got it up there. Good. I didn't memorize the whole thing. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authorities is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Whew. That's a tough one. It's hard to say, you know, exactly where our leaders are, but we've got them everywhere. In the church, there are certain hierarchy. There's a leadership. We report to a district and up right up through the thing. There are bosses that you have at work. There's a chain of command. If you're in the military, there's a certain way that you go about doing things. And there are orders and things passed down. And I always didn't realize what God was doing. Sometimes when you're in the military, you find out that just obeying a direct order does not give you relief from the moral consequences. You have to be aware. You have to know what you're doing. You can't just blindly say, well, he told me to do this, so I'll do that. And we're going to go through a couple examples. I think it would be tough to have been under Herod and been told, hey, you have to go and, not genocide, infanticide, you know, all the boys 2 years and younger. Real tough. Real tough things to do. So what do you use as your moral compass? Well, we've got the Ten Commandments up there. Almost every major religion in the world acknowledges them. You know, when God gave them to Moses, it was just, they make a lot of sense. You can't legislate morality. Yes, you do. And that's what the Ten Commandments are about. That's what our laws are about. We must submit to the governing authorities or else you deal with the consequences. I know if I'm going too fast down 28 and get pulled over, there may be a fine that's associated with it. There is a law. You break the law. Yeah. You can't do that. There are going to be consequences. But we're going to look at a couple examples today of when people did. The first one I'd like to talk about is Moses. At that time, because he is... Israelites were such a strong power and they were so numerous in things, there was fear. Fear that they were going to rise up and take over. So the Pharaoh issued a decree that any male Israelite that was born was to be put to death. We all know the story about how Moses wasn't. I mean, his mother just couldn't do it. There's that love has to, you know. And because of that, he was the one who led them out of Egypt. He went through a great thing. So his mother, his family made a decision. There were probably going to be consequences if they got caught. But they know that God's law overrules everything. Esther. One of my best memories about teaching children's church was when I went to talk about the book of Esther. And I had this one little, well, I guess he was 8 years old at the time, and I was saying, you know, we're talking about Mordecai and how Haman hated him, and because of that, he hated all the Israelites. And this little boy says, I just drew a picture of hanging Haman this week. And it's just like, it's tough when you've got kids who really know things. But this was a person who really hated the Jews. He really hated him so much to the fact, and you can read the scriptures up there, that Haman said, listen, went to the king and said, let's issue a, you know, how about issuing a decree? Let's get rid of these people. Just wipe them out, all of them, women, children, everything. And he was even going to put up some of his own money. What was it, 10,000 talents of silver? He hated him so much. Well, lo and behold, the king issued a decree that said that they can go out, and they could, that anyone could mass and can actually kill the Jews. Well, Esther, being Jewish herself, you know, had a feast for the king, and then another feast for the king, and then Haman was exposed as the one who was really hating him, and the king offered her half the kingdom. So what they did is they issued another decree that the Jews could mass and can defend themselves. And because of that, the nation Israel survived. So how does this go with everyone must submit to the governing authorities? I mean, if the king or those in positions over us say to do something, you got to go back to the Bible. You got to go and measure it against the Ten Commandments. You got to see where God's heart really is in all things. And because of this, the nation Israel, you know, continued. Otherwise, it could have been wiped off. God's favored nation, just gone. Another example is Daniel. Now, we all know the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And we know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how Judah, the lower two tribes, were taken into exile, and there they were. Well, there's a time span between these. When Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach went over, they were probably young, 17 to 21 years old. And that's when they said, hey, let's eat the right foods, not just whatever they give us and things like that. And Daniel was raised up to a position of authority. He was one of the, if not the most, recognized and established of the king as being the right guy to go to. And what happened? There were a lot of people who were jealous of his position. So evidently they got together when Daniel wasn't there, and they drew up a decree and said, hey, King Xerxes, let's go for a month and give you all the honor. No king, nobody could pray to anybody but you. Wow. You know, I know there are certain countries in this world where you can't just go and proclaim yourself as a Christian that you worship God, that you give glory to him alone. But what did Daniel do? Three times a day, he still went and he prayed to his God. And it's like, okay, I know the decree is there and we must submit to the governing authorities, but when the governing authorities go against what God has established and what God says is right, where are you going to stand? I don't know what 2020 is going to bring. I don't know how much condemnation there's going to continue to be for Christians. It's a weird world right now. Weird to me. As you're thinking about what this new year is going to bring for you, set apart some time every day in prayer, not just for your family and friends, your needs, not just for giving God the thanks and for the things that he's done. But I'm just asking you, this year, it's an election year. There's a lot going on. I'm not saying to be Republican or Democrat. I personally am a theocrat, and I look forward to when God's will is done on this earth. But I don't know when that's coming. So I'm just going to just put it out there. Think about it, pray about it. And if God has you do it, I think it may help. Dave, if you would close in prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've gathered and we've sung our praises to you, we've worshiped you, and we've had this opportunity to learn from your word. Lord, as the Christmas season winds down, we know many people are more than happy to celebrate the birth of your son, Jesus Christ, but we don't know if they're as happy to follow him as their king, to follow his word, to follow what he teaches, to do what he says. Lord, we ask that you'll help us to step out from this place in obedience and share the truth about your son, Jesus Christ, how he's not just a baby, He's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and he's coming back to rule again. Lord, we look forward to his rule. We look forward to standing and worshiping in his presence. Help us to be more like him and to lead other people to faith in Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You know, Christmas decorations and things, you're not going to find anything in the New Testament or in any of the epistles where Jesus said, hey, this is what you should be doing. So, mentioned the wise men, they came after the birth of Jesus. So if you have decorations up, it's okay. You're dismissed.